In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here is Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, October 21st, 2010, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In hour number two of our program today, the director of the Office of Personnel Management, John Barry, speaking about changes for retirement benefits for all federal employees, and you'll hear him talk about that in the second hour of the program. Our Max Kakis on site, and we'll dig into his reporting at federalnewsradio.com, and also hear from Director Barry at the event that took place yesterday. Hour number one on Thursday is always industry chatter, where we bring a leader from a government vendor into the studio to talk about what they're doing, what they're seeing, trends that they're observing in doing business with the government. And my guest to do that today is Kevin Paschuk. He's the vice president. You're here in the studio right now, and I welcome you, and I thank you for being here today.
Great. Thank you, Francis.
Tell me about the company. What's the elevator speech about what you do and who you do it for?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So right now, Technologies is the leading provider of cloud computing to the federal government. Specifically, software as a service aspect, we deliver customer-focused business applications. We have 170 clients today in the cloud in the government. That includes every cabinet-level agency across the government, including cabinet-level equivalents like OMB, mm-hmm. But also over 30 state and local governments use our solution as well. At the heart of it, our value proposition is to improve customer experience while reducing cost. Mm-hmm. And we enable that value proposition three ways. So one is our customer experience solution. We dub it CX for customer experience. Second is our secure government dedicated platform. And then lastly, we've got a very unique business model, which kind of is a wholesale shift from traditional software companies.
Mm-hmm. What are agencies starting to understand the benefits of both software as a service and the idea that there are a lot of commercial solutions available that they can customize a little bit and ramp them up a lot faster?
Yeah, you know, within the last 12 months, the cloud computing within the federal government has become really hot. Mm-hmm. And there's all kind of flavors of the cloud out there, and the definition has really become solid. You know, NIST has put out some guidelines that really frames up cloud computing, and then OMB and ASA have elevated it with the FedRAMP program and really have standardized you know, the security of the cloud. So it's becoming more and more as mainstream for government. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think 12 months ago, it was the question was, will we go to the cloud today? When I meet with clients, it's, you know, when will I go to the cloud?
Yeah. What are they asking you or wanting to know about your products now compared to, say, 12 months or 24 months ago?
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, right now, Technologies, we have a long history with the government. Actually, our first customer about 10 years ago was NSA. Mm-hmm. And this is when we were selling software both in the cloud, and we called it on-premise at the time. Mm-hmm. The cloud marketing term kind of came later. But then we also offered it traditional on-premise, where NSA took our software and implemented it themselves. And so we learned through that course of time that, you know, security was the hottest and the most important thing that you needed to do to be able to serve the federal government. And so right out of the gate, the first question we get is, you know, how secure is your cloud, Kevin?
Yeah. We were talking before we went on the air that your clouds are secure at different levels of security depending on the need of the agency.
Yeah, absolutely. So about 2 years ago, our CEO and our CIO came to me and said, hey, Kevin, you know, commercially, we no longer support on-premise customers. Mm-hmm. We understand that the federal government has unique security requirements that our commercial pod or our cloud, we call it a pod, it's just a configuration of hardware and infrastructure, doesn't meet today. So what would it take to be able to move all your government clients to the cloud? And so we did some analysis, and it was determined that we had to be at the NIST moderate baseline. So there's a standard out there that's 853 moderate level. And why we chose that was about 90% of the government's needs could be met with that moderate level. So if you break it down, 10% is public data. So mm-hmm. this is a similar offering that we have to like a Salesforce.com or a Microsoft or an Oracle where it's, you know, low security from a NIST guideline standard. You can put public information. We felt that we needed to get to the next level, which would take 80% more, get us that 90% level, to allow government customers to host PII data in our cloud. You know, not classified, but sensitive information. And then there's that last 10% that is secret, or in my opinion, doesn't belong in the cloud today. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the future, but the cloud's not ready.
And you talk about that middle 80% where you have PII integrated into it. You had a solution, obviously, that you were confident would meet the needs of the agencies, but how was it to try to deal with them and get them to understand and feel confident that they could go ahead and do it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So that is a great question, Francis. So, you know, we started the project 2 years ago. We set out to, you know, we invested a bunch of money, and we've done two things. So the first thing, we decided we need to build our own private government cloud that only one in it is government customers. And that was pretty easy because, you know, NIST has published standards. We've done, we completed a lot of interviews with, the government security experts, and we built that. The more, challenging environment was we actually have a defense offering where we've partnered with Defense Information Systems Agency, where they actually run the network and the infrastructure. And we sit on top with our application, and it's a complete partnership. Never has been done before in government. And, you know, along the way, it was a bunch of learning, give and take, where we had to change some components of our infrastructure. DISA had to rethink how they were doing some of their policies while not compromising security.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily specifically about that interaction with DISA, but in general, how do the agencies do, how receptive are they at maybe changing some of their habits, business models, policies, whatever, to accommodate technology and to accommodate the efficiencies that they can gain from technology?
Yeah, so I think from an acquisition side, I think the government has a long way to go. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at cloud computing in general, I think cloud computing has delivered on the promise from a technology side, but the necessarily the promise of cloud computing from a acquisition side, like pay for only what you use, for example. I don't see the government doing that, and I don't see vendors offering that today.
Mm-hmm.
So the technology side, they're very adapt to it. You know, we go into clients today, and knowing that security is going to be our first question, we actually show them, you know, here's our CNA, our certification and accreditation package that we give to our clients with every lease.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the authority to operate that we've got from DOD. Here's the other authority that operates from our other federal customers, and that immediately gives them a comfort that, hey, you know, others are doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do it too. Although I got to tell you, the one thing that still needs to be solved, and I believe FedRAMP will solve this, while there's NIST sets the guidelines and standards,
mm-hmm.
every agency I go into interprets and has a different requirement for security. So there's no one single standard that is across the government.
Why do you think that is?
For many reasons. One, there's different interpretations of the NIST guideline. For example, you know, how you do multi-factor authentication. You know, one agency wants to do it with one tool, another wants to do it with the other. Scanning. So scanning is another key aspect of security where, you know, some agencies want to use scanning tool X, others want to do scanning tool Y. And so it's, you know, we're having to be very flexible of you know, allowing these agencies to use the multiple tools and multiple uniqueness across. And so and that's what FedRAMP's that program's out to solve,
mm-hmm.
which is basically you know, the two problems that they're solving. So one, if you look at certification and accreditation across the government, OMB did a study, I think it was about 4 or 5 months ago now. They looked at Department of State, and they found that for 150 applications over the last 4 years, the Department of State spent $133 million per year on those applications.
Mm-hmm.
So you did the math, it's like $850,000 an application to mm-hmm. to do all this, the certification and accreditation. And so, you know, the FedRAMP is solving the problem of let's do it once, let's standardize, mm-hmm. and now for each of those applications, you could elect to use the baseline certification and accreditation instead of have to keep spending money over and mm-hmm. over again. And then, secondly, you know, it's solving the problem to still allow for some uniqueness because, you know, DHS, you know, via their OneNet, you know, there's some additional security requirements for like CBP, Customs Border Protection, that may be different from, someone like an SSA.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Kevin Paschuk. He is the vice president of Right Now on Federal News Radio. Continue our conversation. I want to talk a little bit about social media when we come back. It's been some good coming out of government through it, and it's been challenging for some agencies, too. We'll have that conversation when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
All government, military, and defense industry executives. The Association of the United States Army invites you to attend its 56th annual meeting and exposition.
Held October 25th through the 27th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, AUSA's annual meeting is one of the largest land warfare forums in the world.
Companies will gather to display the latest defense technology, and forums will be held for soldiers, family, government defense civilians, and industry executives.
Admission is free but limited to qualified persons. For information, please visit AUSA.org.
Today, you're being asked to make every dollar count more, to do more with less and still less, and to continue to serve and protect. Yes, if you're in government, making tough choices just keeps getting tougher. Turn to Deloitte. We have the people, insight, and experience to help you afford more today, prepare for tomorrow, and help government help America. Insights and opportunities at Deloitte.com/federal.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The number of students graduating with computer science or related degrees has fallen off by 58.5% since 2002. While according to the Department of Labor, those fields comprise three of the top six largest job growth categories. Officials with the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency are saying more graduates with math and science degrees are going to be needed to keep pace with the increasing number of positions required to secure Defense Department networks. DARPA calls it vital to national security. In response, the agency is using the CSSTEM education program to increase the size of the talent pool by encouraging students to enroll in college-level computer programs. The three-year program provides opportunities for middle and high school students to apply science, technology, engineering, and math.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and Dell. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Attend the nation's largest intelligence, defense, and homeland security event of the year, USGIF's GEOINT 2010 Symposium, November 1st through 4th in New Orleans. Register now at GEOINT2010.com to exhibit or to hear from the directors of NGA, NRO, DIA, the Director of National Intelligence, and many more. Don't miss GEOINT 2010, November 1st through 4th, to join thousands from government, industry, and academia. Go to GEOINT2010.com today. That's GEOINT2010.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. GTSI, they were suspended by the SBA. They reached an agreement, and GTSI back in business. What does it all mean, and what lies ahead? We'll talk to GTSI CEO Scott Friedlander. And Homeland Security's Secure Border Initiative. How is that massive project going? GAO has just completed their assessment. We'll talk to them this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Kevin Paschuk of Right Now is my guest on Industry Chatter today. And for a long time, agencies have struggled with social media, how to use it, what to do on it. This is an area that your company's involved with, helping agencies leverage these tools to make them exactly that, to make them tools. For a long time, it seemed, especially in agencies, the idea was more to use these things than to actually perform the mission through them. They were the destination rather than the vehicle, I think. Are you seeing a change in that? Are agencies starting to understand better that, oh, I don't just want to have a Facebook page for the sake of it, but I can communicate with people in a different way?
Yeah, I would say there's different levels of maturity, you mm-hmm. know, if you want to compare it to like a CMMI model mm-hmm. Across government.
Mm-hmm.
Some are doing it for the sake of doing it, and then others are really making it a key part of their citizen communication. And for example, you know, when you go to an agency website, it should be you should have the ability to say collaborate with other citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you're looking for information, which is the majority of the reason why someone goes to a government agency's website, right? And so instead of asking the government, and which should be available there, you should be able to collaborate within communities mm-hmm. With other citizens that have similar questions or have similar needs. So that's one use. It's this collaboration community. And if you do that as an agency, you know, one of the things you got to be careful about, if you have a forum or a community out there, whether it's on your Facebook page or you have it out on your website, if someone posts a question and there's no response through the community, you as the agency, as a best practice, should respond within 24 hours
because mm-hmm.
It's all about the immediate response in
yeah.
today's world.
Yeah, that's been, I think, probably the most challenging thing for the agencies because the mentality for the last, you know, 200 years of our government has been you communicate with them, send a letter or call the help desk, and somebody says, all right, we'll get back to you in 3 weeks or whatever it is. And as we were talking about during the break, if in the social media world, if you don't respond to somebody 5 minutes before they ask the question, they start to get testy. And that's a different mindset. It's a different worldview than I think a lot of agencies are used to.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the when I mentioned at the beginning, our elevator pitch is,
yeah.
and the value proposition was about customer experience while reducing costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the center of our application suite is knowledge management. And so what we enable is citizens to go to, say, the web or go to a community or go to even the organization's Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So we embed our knowledge base right into Facebook
yeah.
and allow citizens to search a dynamic knowledge base. So it's not FAQs. You know, I call FAQs the F word because it's just when you go to a website and you see FAQs and there's a static list, it's just, you know, just a bad experience.
Yeah.
And then you got to search through the answer. So that's not providing that immediate need,
mm-hmm.
but rather, you know, you type in a couple keywords and it's dynamically popping up for you right then and there. And so that's, you know, as a customer experience, you know, your problem solved immediately. And then from a, you know, the lower cost aspect, if an agency could enable this knowledge management on all these different mediums across the board, the website, the email, the Facebook, the forums and communities, it's less traffic that they're getting in their contact center.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's much cheaper to have someone solve the problem themselves than it is to hire a bunch of agents.
Yeah, the help desk costs, I imagine, go way, way down, call centers and stuff. My guest is Kevin Paschuk of Right Now on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. When we come back, I want to expand on that idea a little bit more because the customer experience mindset, I think, is another mindset that agencies are just kind of starting to get with. And we'll talk more about that when we come back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. A reminder, in hour number two, you'll hear from OPM Director John Barry, an event yesterday on retirement changes in the retirement structure and how the retirement benefits are doled out, are dished out. That's hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are off their highs of the session, but a strong batch of earnings from the likes of Caterpillar, Eli Lilly, McDonald's, UPS, and Union Pacific is keeping stocks in the plus column. The Dow's up 47 points, the Nasdaq higher by 2. Fewer Americans applied for unemployment benefits last week, the Labor Department says. New claims dropped by 23,000 to 452,000. Toyota says it's recalling more than 1.5 million vehicles in the U.S., Japan, and China. The models affected here in the U.S. include the Avalon and the non-hybrid Lexus and Highlanders, and involve the brake's master cylinder. The Japanese automaker says the seal could leak, causing a loss in braking power. And Honda announcing it's recalling an undetermined number of Acura RL sedans and Odyssey minivans for the same issue. There have been no reports of injuries or accidents tied to the problem for either automaker. Chris Maurer, CNBC.
Allianz is a global leader in investments, insurance, and retirement. Consider retirement. Allianz offers solutions, help to grow and protect your money, and provide you with guaranteed income for life. Learn more at AllianzUSA.com. Advisory services are provided by member companies of Allianz SC, including PIMCO, RCM, Allianz Global Investors Capital, and NFJ. Insurance and annuities are issued by Allianz Life Insurance Company of North America and in New York by Allianz Life Insurance Company of New York, New York City. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing company.
What is vanguarding? Vanguarding is the idea that investing success is measured in years, not days. It's the belief in doing what's right for clients, not Wall Street. It's understanding that where you invest is just as important as how much you invest. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy that investors have used to help reach their financial goals for decades. So are you just investing, or are you vanguarding? Learn more at Vanguard.com or at 888-VANGUARD. All investments are subject to risk.
The government of Yemen is trying to
put down a home security system gives you peace of mind. But are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in home monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month. And there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has over 40 years of industry-leading experience. Ackerman monitors your home from its UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Ackerman was recently recognized as the National Dealer of the Year from over 30,000 companies. Get the most qualified professionals monitoring your home for just $18.95 per month. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. Federal employees call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service. Call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Do you need or want more options in your thrift savings plan? Various mutual funds hope you do. Naturally, they'd like a piece of the action and some of the dollars that federal and postal workers invest every month. The Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board has resisted adding mutual funds to your TSP options for years, saying that mutual funds tend to be high risk, and the TSP is designed to be a long-term, low-risk investment plan. I'm Amy Morris.
Are you getting the most value from your life insurance premium? Probably not. Therefore, take a moment to check out WEPA, a nonprofit association founded in 1943 that enables federal employees to purchase better life insurance at far better prices. WEPA also has a premium refund policy that has returned over $52 million in refunds to its policyholders since 1996. Visit WAEPA.org to learn how you can reduce your premiums and become eligible for future refunds. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Eric.
The government of Yemen is trying to put down a branch of al-Qaeda that's attacked Western and regional targets in the country next to the oil giant, Saudi Arabia. It's also believed to be the home of radical cleric Anwar al-Awlaki. Yemeni authorities have offered a reward of up to $50,000 for information about the whereabouts of two Saudi terrorists, Turki al-Shahrani and Ahmed al-Jasser. Yemeni aircraft have also bombed al-Qaeda positions in southern Yemen. I'm J.J. Green.
When you hear the word counterfeit, do you
you automatically think of money? Well, it's much broader than that. Everything you buy has the potential of being counterfeit, especially those items that are hard to find and run the risk of becoming obsolete. And that's where Airing comes in. They're helping customers plan ahead for parts obsolescence so that when a part is needed, no matter how small, it's the real deal. When lives are at stake and relying on the integrity of systems is critical, there's no time to question authenticity. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Connect with more than 800 fellow contract management professionals. The Government Contract Management Conference is a must-attend on December 9th and 10th. The National Contract Management Association presents more than 20 educational sessions to answer the most complex questions, plus prominent speakers from CACI, the Department of Defense, the Boeing Company, and more. To learn more, visit ncmahq.org today.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Kevin Paschuk of Right Now is my guest for the hour. And we were talking before the break, Kevin, about social media and customer experience online and some of those kinds of challenges. And when I was on the morning show this morning on the Federal Drive with Tom and Amy talking about you coming on the show this afternoon, I commented on the fact that just anecdotally from people talking to me, knowing that I'm kind of on the world of government business, and also it's been borne out in studies, people who have looked at and done surveys about usage of federal websites and interaction through through the internet with agencies, people don't communicate with the government through the internet in a vacuum. They don't go online and do whatever business they want to do or find information they want to find out from agencies and then log off and 3 hours later go back and do their other stuff. They're going on, I use the example of a laundry list of concert tickets and check on my parents' Medicare benefits for them and do some shopping. And I'm going to a shopping website and then a concert ticket website and then I'm going to the CMS website. And potentially having a very different experience. And I'm not picking on CMS. I just using them as an example because I have helped them out recently and it was top of mind. But there is that disconnect in some cases for the end user, the citizen, who doesn't understand that a lot of resources are needed to provide that experience. And it costs a lot of money in some cases. But there is the continuity that people don't see always when they go from a private sector site to an experience on a government site. Talk about what agencies can do to make those transitions easier and to improve that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Francis, you hit it right on the head there. I mean, commercial entities, if they provide a poor customer experience, they're going to lose customers.
Go away.
Right? I mean, and you know, we've done some studies in this area specifically, and we just released one 2 weeks ago, and we found that 75% of the people, if they have a bad experience with a company, a commercial company, they will spread it word of mouth, and then not go back for the repeat business. So for example, if they go to Amazon and it's a bad experience, they always have Zappos.
Right.
Right. There's always alternatives. Mm-hmm. Not so much in the government is there alternatives. And so, you know, we had these unique findings commercially, and we said, well, let's take a survey around open government and citizen experience for government, and what were the findings there? More than 80% of the citizens felt that the government could do a better job at improving citizen experience. Mm-hmm. And what was really surprising to me was 95% of them were willing to pay $10 more a year in taxes if there was a better experience that they could get from the government site. So, you know, your question is what can the government do to improve that experience? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there's a couple things. One is start small. You know, don't try to boil the ocean right out of the gate. And, you know, I was giving the example of this knowledge management where you actually can use it to solve problems on your social media site. But really, if you establish this core knowledge foundation as step one in your process to improve citizen experience, and then use that knowledge foundation across all your channels. So, you know, as a citizen, if I get up in the morning I'm having breakfast with my kids, I may want to go on my iPhone and search your knowledge base and log a ticket. I then get in the car. Perhaps I get on the phone and then I'm doing some updates. I get to work. I send an email. And then on the way home, I make a phone call. Well, all along, every time I interacted with that government agency, they knew why I was calling, what was the status of my request, and what was the next step in the process. Where today, you can go to some agency's website and get one answer and then call and get a completely different one, which is totally unacceptable.
Yeah, there's every year around during tax season, we see those stories from the IRS where some newspaper reporter or somebody somewhere will call with a question, call the 800 number five different times and talk to five different people and get five different answers. And again, I don't mean to pick on the IRS. This is a pervasive problem for just about every agency, I imagine.
Yeah, and step one for organizations like that is you've got to establish that knowledge foundation. And then once you have it established, and that's getting all your department's information into a shared knowledge base. Mm-hmm. This isn't, you know, one knowledge base for your HR department, another one for your finance department, another one for your IT department. This is one centralized knowledge base.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that, allow it to self-learn as well. You know, what we find is, you know, in this process for improving customer experiences, you establish that knowledge foundation with the knowledge that you think the citizens want to know. But then, step two is really exposing that knowledge foundation in forms of web self-service and email self-service. But then on a weekly basis, you've got to let the knowledge base self-learn.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we find is, you know, we go into agencies and they want to populate their knowledge base with 1,000 questions and answers. And we're like, how about just the top 100?
Mm-hmm.
And trust us on this, a month from now, the top 100 that you think are the top 100 will not be. And
mm-hmm.
so it's kind of self-learning. As citizens interact with it, you could find questions that are common that citizens are asking a lot. And then you could also use analytics to say, hey, we posted this knowledge article out there. And, you know, for the last month, nobody's read it.
Yeah.
Or nobody even searched on any of the keywords.
Yeah. Nobody cares about that. And they must want to. That, I imagine, is pretty daunting for agencies, too. I guess it's humbling at times, too, because what you think is important and what maybe you've directed a lot of time and energy and resources toward might not be something that citizens are really that worked up about, as it turns out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How do you were talking about the idea of, you know, turning the ship in the middle of the ocean and changing direction on some of these things. How do you do it in that world? Is it easier or harder to do? Because theoretically, I guess if you've built your knowledge, it's just a matter of pushing different things or prioritizing different things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, step one from our recommendation is always start with the knowledge foundation, because
mm-hmm.
knowledge is kind of at the root of a good or bad customer experience. I mean, think about it. You could call into a call center and you get a very friendly agent,
mm-hmm.
and he or she is, you know, polite, you know, how's your day going, eager to help you. But the minute that they can't help you, it becomes a poor experience,
mm-hmm.
right? And so once you get that knowledge, then you can kind of, Maslow's hierarchy, right, of needs, right? And so, we talked about exposing that via web self-service, via email. Then step three would be taking that same knowledge base that you deployed externally, now deploy it internally to your contact center agents. So that's when you start getting those common answers we talked about, right?
Yeah.
So now the citizens are going to the website. They might want to email you. They might want to search the knowledge base. But then they might want to call you. And all along, they're getting that common answer.
Mm-hmm.
So then once you get that established, that's kind of the food, the water, the shelter.
Yeah.
Then you could really get to the highest levels. And we caution the government to try to, you know, once again, do it all at once. It's like, prove the ROI, start with the areas of the business impact. And then, you know, that helps even internally them build their business case to senior management.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you have that knowledge base deployed externally, internally, you could start doing more advanced things like multi-channel. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, step four in kind of this process would be all about adding chat, adding social, right? So once again, based on that same knowledge foundation. So when people want answers, they're that common foundation. From there, you could take it to the next level of getting citizen feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's the Open Government Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I was a little bit disappointed with the initiative was The agencies elected the three elements of information to put on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wrote a blog when it first came out, and my opinion was, you know, don't guess. Why don't you survey, right? Mm-hmm. Send some surveys out to the citizens. Allow them to tell you what's most interested, what information they want most.
Yeah.
And the other aspect of that customer experience is, if you are going to survey, let's survey at the point of interaction,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, Francis, you call me, it's a bad experience. Let's get a survey. You know, let's ask immediately after that interaction, you know, scale 1 to 10, you know, how was your,
what happened? Yeah.
Yeah. And then if it's low, you know, immediately intervene to solve the problem, not the, you know, the twice annual survey that some agencies send out.
Yeah.
So it's that getting the root cause so you can avoid it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this kind of this hierarchy we're building on. You know, another aspect in citizen experience, you know, once you've got the foundation I've been talking about in place, it's more of, let's be a fitness center from a service perspective instead of an ER. So
mm-hmm.
traditionally, if someone's calling into a government agency's contact center, it's for something bad.
Yeah.
But the government agencies today can predict, for the most part, some of these mundane tasks. So, for example, in DOD, CAC cards, common access cards, expire, you know, every so often, and millions of soldiers and warfighters have to renew.
Mm-hmm.
Why not proactively send them a note saying, hey, you know, here your CAC's going to expire in a month. Here's the three steps you need to renew instead of having your contact center bombarded with calls mm-hmm. or your website. And then, you know, from there, it's about continuous improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've got that, you've really, you know, you've kind of got all the key elements, I think, for your customer experience. And, you know, run the analytics, keep your knowledge base tuned. But then go back to the beginning and kind of see what gaps are still there.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Paschuk is Vice President of Right Now Technologies, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I want to talk some more about the customer experience part of it. You've talked a number of times about the starting out with the knowledge base, and I want to go a little deeper, take the next step after that when we come back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Internet. It's indispensable. Without it, how else would we perform crucial functions like shoe shopping, watching videos of a cat playing the piano, emailing inspirational anecdotes to our 1,000 closest friends? But despite these awesome utilizations of information technology at Kaiser Permanente, we've found some better uses, like being able to securely manage your own health online 24/7, emailing your doctor's office, checking most test results, reviewing meds, making routine appointments. Not to mention a vital digital connection between you, your doctor, and everyone on your team. Could it be that making total health smarter, more efficient, and more convenient is the very sort of thing for which the internet was intended? Maybe, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't fit in a cat video now and then. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we want you to live well, laugh well, and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The underlying battle is trying to lay out the framework for how we're going to deliver services over the internet without saturating the backbone, and do it in a way that you don't censor the internet, which is what net neutrality is getting at, but simply try to moderate bandwidth in a way which is fair.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller.
Nancy Sutley is the chairwoman of the White House Council on Environmental Quality. She tells Jason Miller how the guidance will help agencies.
The news we made today was releasing our greenhouse gas reporting guidance. We need to know what we're doing now and to show improvement. We thought it made sense to do it government-wide, and obviously agencies will apply it, and their first report is due in January. So hopefully this gives them enough time to get everything set.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Kevin Paschuk of Right Now Technologies, my guest on Industry Chatter today, and we're talking about providing a better customer experience regardless of the platform in which you interact with citizens. And we were talking during the break about the mindset at agencies. Sometimes it's hard to change that prioritization. And one of the things we were talking about in the last segment was the idea of breaking these projects up. And for example, if you've got 1,000 pieces of information that are eventually going to make it into your knowledge base, and it's tempting to say, yep, we'll put all this stuff up as soon as we get all 1,000 pieces ready to go. That seems to be the model that a lot of agencies follow. Why is it hard to get them out of the mode of doing it that way and say, and let's put up the top 10 or the top 50 and then let the citizens tell us which should be the next 50 and the next 50. And eventually we'll get to the whole 1,000, but a little bit's better than none.
Right. You know, it's the mindset we were talking about, Francis, that, you know, this is coupled with, you know, we're all humans and we strive for perfection, and we think that we need 100% solution to be up and running before, you know, it adds any value. Where in fact, if you can get that 80%, that even that 60% solution, and then be open-minded to the fact that we don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And we think we know that these are the 1,000 knowledge articles, but, you know, let's put the top 50 out there, and then let's see what how the knowledge base interacts. Let's see what the citizens are asking, and then, you know, if they are asking what the questions around the other knowledge articles that we haven't put in, then populate the database there over time. But mm-hmm. it's this paradigm shift around this is how we always done it, and this open mindedness to allowing for feedback real time before we go 100% full operating capability.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that we mentioned before the break was the concept of getting to the point where your knowledge base is workable and usable, and then moving beyond that. It strikes me that that step and the steps that follow it are probably easy or easier, and the real difficult or complex work is actually getting to that point where you have information that's available for your people to be able to disperse to citizens, or for them to be able to pull from website, Facebook page, et cetera.
Yeah, and it varies across agencies. Some organizations, like United States Air Force is a client of ours, and, you know, we're doing their website and their knowledge there, but we're also populating our knowledge base with human resource transactional information around benefits and pay and retirements. And so that's a more complex use of our tool. Mm-hmm. Where in that case, you know, it is better to wait a little bit longer to get all the answers into the knowledge base. But then we have other agencies like Social Security Administration. They get over 2 million hits a month on their website, and most of their problems, 95% of their problems, are solved through their knowledge base. Mm-hmm. And they're a industry leader in this, where they actually about a year ago, some leadership changed, and they had 2,000-3,000 knowledge articles in there. The gentleman in charge now of their web division came in and said, let's just strip it down. Let's put 50 in there and let it self-learn. Mm-hmm. And now their experience rating, their ANSI score, which is basically the customer sat score that the government uses, is skyrocketed.
Yeah.
It
strikes me that that is a 95% is a tremendous solution rate, and I bet that's driven their call center costs way down. I bet that's driven their other interaction costs way down with information that's probably a lot of people ask the same questions over and over again.
Right, absolutely.
Is it that way at every agency? Are the inquiries that agencies get from citizens very similar in most cases? Is it mostly this different people asking the same questions a lot?
It is. It varies.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, there's common questions across the board, whether it's, you know, how do I reset my password? You know, how do I log into this site, to that site? How do, you know, but then there's agency specific questions around, you know, how do I renew my Social Security card?
Right.
You know, where do I go to renew my license? And so there's various types of information, just depends.
And those types of information bring me to what I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to close out on. I wish we had a lot more time. But when we come back from the break, I want to talk about providing information inside your agency as opposed to providing information to citizens, whether there are different approaches to that, different structures or whatever. And we'll do that when we come back with Kevin Paschuk of Right Now Technologies on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to dell.com/deliver now.
How is the U.S. Navy evolving its information capabilities? What is the Naval Information Dominance Strategy? How is the U.S. Navy introducing bold, game-changing strategies and concepts for the next generation? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these and other questions with Vice Admiral Jack Dorsett, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Dominance and Director of Naval Intelligence, next week. That's next week on The Business of Government Hour.
Today, you're tasked with protecting America's networks from cyber attack, training the next generation of cyber-top guns, keeping sensitive data safe and secure, and getting to your daughter's soccer game by 6. If you're in government, your cyber to-do list is challenging. Turn to Deloitte. We have the people, insight, and experience to help you address pressing cyber issues and help government help America. Insights and opportunities at Deloitte.com/federal.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for October is the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Nearly 1 million Americans are living with a form of blood cancer, and over 53,000 people will lose their battle to leukemia, lymphoma, myeloma, or Hodgkin's disease this year. Join the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society in the fight against blood cancers by participating in the upcoming Light the Night Walks. With your help, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society will continue to improve the quality of life for patients and their families. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Slowly running out of time, unfortunately, with Kevin Paschuk of Right Now Technologies, and I would love to have you come back and talk about some of the things. We didn't talk very much at all about cloud computing, an area that your company's involved with and that a lot of agencies are thinking about. And other than a brief time at the beginning, we haven't touched on that much. So it would be great to have you come back at some point and continue that conversation. But I'm fascinated by this customer experience element of your business and of the challenges that agencies deal with, because I think it goes to a lot of the things that we've seen in the news lately about how citizens view government, not just at the federal level, but also at the state and local level. Something we didn't talk about during the break, but I would like to ask you, because you're involved with state and local business for your company as well. Are the feds doing it better, as well as, not quite as well as, other levels of government?
There's some states that are leading the federal government, and I say that only because out of necessity.
Yeah.
I think the budgets have been cut so drastically in the state and local area that they have no choice but to turn to cloud computing, to turn to self-service for the citizens instead, you know, clearing out the call center, reducing down, you know, all the servers, you know, in their data center, and really transforming their business to a more streamlined, lower cost model, but without sacrificing some of the key things they need to do to serve the citizens.
Yeah. What is it that is going, do you think will be a catalyst, if anything, to push the government like that, to push the federal government that way? Or is there going to be sufficient, is the demand from citizens, do you think, going to be sufficient to continue to drive it?
I think the demand is definitely going to continue to drive it as technology improves. I think, you know, 2 years from now, Facebook and Twitter will be the primary source of interaction over email, which email is the number one source today of communications. So technologies and as the generations growing up, you know, start with social media instead of email, the government's going to be forced to be able to provide different channels across various means to solve the unique range of citizens that they have to interact with.
Do you think the agencies are prepared to handle that, the change in expectations? If I send an email to somebody and I don't hear back for a day or so, or even 2 days, that's usually satisfactory. I don't start to get bugged until the third or fourth day, and then I think, well, I told them it was important and I haven't heard back. That's not the case at all with if somebody tweets something. There's usually a lot more urgency associated with it, and I wonder if agencies are prepared to deal with that.
Yeah, no, they should be. I mean, we have some agencies that we have a technology we call cloud monitoring, and a quasi-government agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, uses this today. And a unique story, I was just with them at our annual conference last week, and they were telling me that literally someone tweeted at one of their ATMs that, hey, you know, my card's not working, you know, Navy Federal Credit Union, you know, fails me. And they immediately tweeted back, we're with Navy Federal Credit Union customer experience. We see you have a problem. You know, how could we help? And the conversation continued via Twitter. And literally, it was a third-party vendor that Navy Federal Credit Union uses to validate a transaction. Their systems were down. So they tweeted back to the guy, hey, you know, our system is down, but there's an ATM right around the corner. And they tweeted him the URL to the address on how to get there. And so, you know, that's real customer experience.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing stuff. There's always more to talk about than there is time to do it. I would love to have you come back, and I appreciate your time being here today. It's great to talk to you.
Great, thank you as well.
Kevin Paschuk of Right Now Technologies, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. With that, we'll wrap up hour number one of the program. Hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose includes some conversation from OPM Director John Barry talking yesterday about restructuring in the retirement area. You'll hear about that and learn about it next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.